Well, I welcome you to our fifth of six messages we call Welcome to Trinity. And we're using as a table of contents our church name, Trinity Bible Church, our first message. Nothing more important than knowing the one triune God. And the only way you can really know him is through knowing the Bible and the message of the word. And then as you would hopefully put faith in Jesus Christ, you would come together with other forgiven sinners as a church. And those are our first three lessons, Trinity Bible Church. And our second three lessons would come from our mission, exalting Christ, encouraging those who know Christ, evangelizing those who need Christ. Last time we covered exalting Christ. Next time, Lord willing, we'll talk about evangelizing those who need Christ. I'm going to talk this evening about that fifth item out of these six, the middle of our mission, encouraging those who know Christ. And so we call this part five of the Welcome to Trinity series. Now, when I use the word encouragement, what comes to your mind? Encouragement. Now, we all know that we need some kind of encouragement, but what are we talking about? Example, a number of us, I think 50 from the Trinity family, we went bowling Friday night. You say, how did bowling go? I think the first game, I think I broke 70, but just barely, okay? And I don't even think I hit 80. You say, is that discouraging? A little bit, yeah. And you say, did anybody encourage you and say, like somebody said, hey, Pastor Greg, it's not so bad. You're probably being a blessing to others and you're not even trying. And I was like, yeah, sure, you know. And that was encouraging. But is that the kind of encouragement that we're referring to when the mission of Trinity is encouraging those who know Christ? I want to talk about this word a little bit. In fact, you know I don't normally put Greek terms up on the screen. But I think some of you know that noun, paraclete, a reference to the Holy Spirit. It comes from the verb parakaleo. It's the idea of being called alongside, to call to one side. And I'm calling out, right? Hey, can I speak with you? Could we talk a little bit? Can we go side by side? It's translated to urge, to exhort, to encourage, to instill someone with courage, comfort, and thus to encourage. And when we talk about encouraging those who know Christ, what we're doing is we're saying, talking to someone, calling someone alongside, and saying, this is what I want to do. I want to help you. But we're not talking necessarily about, I want to help you to know it's okay not to bowl well. That's not what we mean. We're talking about encouraging in spiritual ways. And that's what we're going to see tonight. So this message, number five out of the six that we're covering, it's going to be a little bit different from the first five. The first five, I made a number of points and I had a verse for each point. In this one, we're going to kind of do a little Bible study up front. The first half will be a Bible study, and then the second half will be the points of application. So if there was a, we're going to keep calling this, right? This is on encouragement and encouraging those who know Christ. Maybe a subtitle would be Acts of Encouragement, because I want to open up the scriptures with you tonight and I want to look at four acts of encouragement. All of them are in the book of Acts, and so I had to have a name and I thought I would call that Acts of Encouragement. I hope that's okay. I'll have the key verses on the screen. You may want to follow along with me, okay? As we look at the Acts of Encouragement, first of all, we're going to consider the message. What's the content of the encouragement? What are we encouraging each other actually to do? Well, first of all, let's open tonight to Acts chapter 11, where we will see that we should encourage one another to be faithful to the Lord. Acts chapter 11, and it's an account of Barnabas. And for all of these, we're going to have to just kind of jump into a context just a little bit. But I'm going to start reading from Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Once I get to 23, I'll be putting that on the screen if that helps you know if you want to open or not. I'm in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. So the gospel is going to people that we would call Gentiles there in Antioch. And the hand, verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Verse 22, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, And they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. So kind of the key church there in Jerusalem hears, hey, what's going on up there in Antioch? I mean, Gentiles are coming to know Christ, we think. I mean, is that true? I think it's true. How do we know it's true? Let's send someone up to check it out. Let's send Barnabas. And so we pick it up here in Acts chapter 11 in verse 23. Then when he, that's Barnabas, arrived and witnessed the grace of God. Yes, these people are believing in Jesus. He rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Barnabas heads up to Antioch, sees that, yes, there are people coming to know Jesus as their Savior. He not only rejoices, praise the Lord, what does he do? He encouraged them. And here's what I want to point out tonight. What did he encourage them to do? He encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with resolute heart, to remain faithful to the Lord with a real heart. You've made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I'm rejoicing. Stay true to the Lord. We would say, keep following Jesus Christ. He's the one, he's the only one who can save you. And you want to just keep trusting in him. That's what Barnabas encouraged them to do. That's what we need to encourage one another to do. That whether someone has recently come to faith in Christ or whether they've been a believer for a long time, man, keep following Jesus. Keep trusting the Lord. I mean, whether trials come or cease, either way, keep following Christ. Now, why would Barnabas do that? This is kind of interesting to me. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. Okay? So if you said to me, what does a man who's filled with the Holy Spirit do? What does a man who's filled with faith do? What does a man who's a good man, this word's only used of one other person by Luke, Joseph of Arimathea, what does a man like this do? Do you know what he does? He encourages people. And remember, and we're not talking about, yeah, I know your football team lost, it's okay, maybe next year they'll win. And I'm not against that. But encouraging one another to remain true to the Lord. That's the kind of encouragement we all need. And that's the kind of encouragement by God's grace as a church family we want to continue to do. So when we talk about the message of encouragement, Acts chapter 11, the encouragement to remain faithful to the Lord. And just a few pages over, we'll see something else in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. The encouragement to continue in the faith. Acts chapter 14, just a few pages over in your Bible. I'll scroll over here. And we have an example, not this time of Barnabas, but we have an example here of the Apostle Paul. So Acts chapter 14, and let me get here close to verse 22. And I'm going to start reading in verse 19 of Acts chapter 14. And in fact, I believe I have that on the screen. Here we go, Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Okay. And so here is Paul on the first missionary journey. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they're in Lystra now, the city of Lystra. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. So just think about this. Paul is sharing the gospel in Lystra. People are coming to Christ. The Jews who don't like Paul from the last two places where he was, Antioch and Iconium, they actually get everybody so angry with Paul, they stone him. And, you know, I don't know what this would be like to have people pick up maybe stones the size of golf balls and throw them at you. And that would be horrific. That is not what this is referring to. This would be very large stones, the kind that kill people. They left him, the text says, for dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up, you know, and some asked, could it be that Paul actually passed away and was brought back to life? It's possible. But it says, while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, I'm going to have to put a map up to explain to you why this is such a blessing to me, okay? So I have a map. I hope you can see that a little bit. I know it's not real big. Paul starts here. That's Antioch in Syria. Okay, different Antioch. He goes through Cyprus. He comes over here to Perga. Now, this is what we want to watch. Paul goes to Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. People are getting saved. Right here in Lystra, he gets stoned. They then head to Derbe, and that's more or less, I'm going to call it, end of the first missionary journey. So here's what I want you to think about if you're able to see that. What do you do next? I mean, here, I've taken this long trip across the Mediterranean here, and I've actually been stoned. I come to the end. Guys, notice what we're close to. You follow this international road right here. Paul's from Tarsus. Man, he's right there. Paul, just keep going. Hit Tarsus. That's where you're from. Go a little farther. You're back to where you started. It's kind of like you go on a mission trip for the summer, and you go three-fourths of the way around the globe. Someone tries to kill you. You're very close to home, and you don't go home. What does Paul do? He stops in Derbe, and he goes right back to Lystra, which is where they stone him. And if I'm there, I'm saying, Paul, what? That makes zero sense. And he not only goes here to Lystra, he goes to Iconium and to Antioch, and that's where the people hated him so much that they came to Lystra to stone him. And again, I want to say, Paul, this makes zero sense until I read the next verse. And this is the verse that encouraged me so much. Acts 14:21. After they'd preached the gospel to that city, Derbe, and had many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Paul, why would you be so close to going back home and yet go back the way you came where people tried to kill you? It's very clear. Paul wanted to encourage these new believers to continue in the faith. They put their faith in Jesus, and Paul knew how important it was to encourage them. And notice what comes at the end of Acts 14:22, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when our brothers and sisters say, you know what? Life is hard, and I don't understand what God is doing, and I'm having these great problems, whatever kind you're having. And I think we have all kinds just in our congregation. And the physical challenges, the health challenges, sometimes they're relationship, marital challenges, sometimes they're whatever, parents, children, many problems. And it gets hard. And it's easy, right, in our flesh to think, Lord, come on. I mean, here I am, and I'm trying to follow you, and things aren't going the way I wanted. You know what we need? We need brothers and sisters to come along and say, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The health and wealth gospel is not biblical. God never promised to save us from all of our trials. But by his grace, if you're trusting in him, he blesses you and he helps you as you go through the trials, continuing in the faith. Acts 14:21 through 22. So if we look at acts of encouragement, we see in Acts 11:23 through 24, we need to encourage people to remain faithful to the Lord. It's very similar to Acts 14:22, encouraging people to continue in the faith. How do we do that? I call that the means. We'll look at two more accounts in Acts. Well, many of you know what happened in the Jerusalem Council, chapter 15 of Acts. And there's a big controversy in the early church. And when people put their faith in Jesus Christ, specifically Gentiles, do they have to live like Jews? And a lot of people back in Jerusalem were saying, yes, you have to live like a Jew. And of course, the answer is you don't. And so they had the Jerusalem Council. So that's the context to Acts chapter 15. As we look at verse 32. In the Jerusalem Council, they made a decision. Let me turn over to Acts chapter 15. And they make the decision that is, I don't even know what to call it, a pro-gospel decision. That no, if you're a Gentile, you don't have to live like a Jew to be saved. That would be the short version of what was going on. And so they make an official decree, and that ends in Acts chapter 15, verse 29. And then I believe I begin, here we go, in Acts chapter 15, and I'll pick it up in verse 30. I have it on the screen. So when they were sent away, so they're sent away from Jerusalem, where the big council took place, they went down to Antioch. Now, that's confusing, but, you know, that's just the way they talked back then. Antioch's actually north, so I would say they went up to Antioch. But as my good colleague, friend, and geography expert has reminded us, that Jerusalem is the key place, so whenever you're leaving Jerusalem, you're going down. Right, Ward? I hope I'm saying that right. So they went down to Antioch, even though Antioch is north. So they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. When they read it to the believers up in Antioch, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Now, Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encourage and strengthen the brethren with a lengthy message. So a group of men from the church in Jerusalem are sent to take this official document, letter, to say this is what the church has decided. It's read, everyone's encouraged, and here come in with the group. Here is Judas and Silas being prophets themselves, and they encourage and strengthen the brethren in Antioch. How? With a lengthy message. Right? Pastors love to read that. With a lengthy message. You know? Now, what's the emphasis? Is it on lengthy? Is it the idea that the longer you preach, the more encouraged people are? Is anyone going to say amen? Right? Probably not. I think we've all been in messages we wish were shorter, and I include myself. But the main point of this is they encouraged and strengthened the brethren. How? With a lengthy message. What is one of the ways we're continue to follow Christ? We are encouraged to continue to follow Christ through preaching, through the public proclamation of God's word. And notice I say preaching and then public proclamation, and I want to be careful. Sharing the Bible in different venues, our Sunday morning Bible classes. Nancy told me she was encouraged at being part of the Ladies' Missionary Fellowship just this past Saturday, where I'm thinking two of our ladies stood up and spoke, and I would imagine they would have shared scripture with the other ladies, which is wonderful. And when we gather together and scripture is shared, proclaimed, then we're encouraged. And that's one way we're encouraged to remain faithful to the Lord, to continue in the faith. That's Acts 15. The last example we'll look at is from Acts 16. And even though we saw in Acts 15 a public proclamation that encouraged people, now in Acts chapter 16, we'll see private ministry. And we even referred to this morning, and I think many of you know this fairly well, and this is the account of the Philippian jailer coming to Christ. So here's Paul and Silas, and they're in jail in Philippi, right? And there's the big earthquake, and everything's, you know, just kind of in an uproar. And then here in Acts chapter 16, verse 30, the Philippian jailer comes out and says, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. I'm now in verse 34 of Acts 16. And he brought them into his house and set food before them. This is the jailer. And rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Now, this is interesting to me. The Philippian jailer, his family, they hear the gospel, and they've now put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pick up the story in verse 35 of Acts 16. Now, when the day came, the chief magistrate sent their policemen saying, "Release those men," right? Release Paul and Silas from prison. And I'll pick it up in Acts 16:36. I have it up on the screen. The jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The chief magistrates have sent to release you. Therefore, come out now. Go in peace." And I would expect Paul to say, good, I'm gone. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now are they sending us away secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and bring us out. All right? Now, that would have been a fun thing. I would have enjoyed watching Paul when he said that. Let's keep reading. Acts chapter 16. We'll pick it up in verse 38. Because Paul, you're not allowed to do this to what happened to Paul. He's a Roman citizen. The policemen reported these words to the chief magistrates. Here it comes. They were afraid when they heard that they, Paul and Silas, were Romans. And they came and appealed to them. And when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. So something like this. Paul says, man, we are so sorry. This should have never happened. Like, we were so wrong. Leave. You got to leave. Really, just please won't you leave? You got to leave. I mean, can't we just pretend this was all big mistake and you need to go? Just leave. Just leave, right? And I think I would say, yes, I'm out of here. And I know what happened to me just the other, not many hours before I was beaten in prison. And if I have an opportunity to leave, I'm going to leave. And now the magistrates are begging me to leave. He doesn't leave. They went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. And here is the Apostle Paul, the government officials begging him to leave for his own safety. It would be good to leave. Paul, aren't you going to leave? And he says, no, there's something I'm more concerned about. More concerned than doing the politically right thing. More concerned than doing the safe thing. I have brothers and sisters back in the house of Lydia. These are new believers. They need to be encouraged to continue to follow Jesus, to keep believing the gospel. I am going back and I'm going to encourage them. How he did that, I would just assume he talked to them. And no doubt they were, Paul, we heard about what happened in prison and look at you, you're all beat up. And no doubt he was saying to his new brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what, it's okay. I'm just going to keep following Jesus. How about you? Keep following Jesus. Stay true to Jesus. Remain faithful. With all your heart, keep believing in Jesus. There's nothing better than knowing you're forgiven. Just keep trusting the Lord. He loves you. He'll care for you. And here's the Apostle Paul, just having that heart to encourage people. So that's our little Bible study going through acts of encouragement, the message, remain faithful to the Lord, continue in the faith, the means, public proclamation. We saw that in Acts 15. Private proclamation, we saw that there with Paul in Acts chapter 16. So how does that practically apply to the ministry of Trinity? The middle point of our mission is encouraging those who know Christ. And we seek to do that in many different ways. Number one, we seek to do that in our worship, in the preaching. My heart, and I pray, and I hope you're praying, I know many of you pray, that God would encourage us through the preaching of the word. And then we come together at a service, and I trust that happens, and we're encouraged by singing different songs. You know, even tonight, I was encouraged, I know the song, but what a great reminder, Lord, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. And I'm singing that to the Lord, and I'm praying, Lord, this is true. I need you so much. And I was encouraged to sing that song. And then we pray with one another. We do this in our 10:45 morning worship service. Every Sunday morning, we gather together for a service, and then we come together on Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. And some come to one, some come to the other, some come to both. But it's an opportunity where we come together to worship Christ, yet in a way that is encouraging to those who know Christ through the preaching, the singing, and the prayer. And as you know, we have a nursery that's provided during both of these services. And there's also a children's church, and that's for anyone in the K-4 through second grade. And we recognize that, you know, what we do here might be a little bit advanced for them, and they would have a hard time paying attention. And so thankful for the many faithful workers we have that oversee our children, our grandchildren in Children's Church. That's one way we seek to encourage those who know Christ in our worship as we gather together. Second way is in our Sunday morning programs. At 9:30, we have a series of Bible study classes. Many of you participate. And none of this is me wanting to make you feel guilty that you don't, just wanting you to know what's available here. We have many people who spend time and they study, and we have classes for every age of children. I just put that generically. We have classes for all ages of children. Then we have a class for our junior high group. And then we have another class for our senior high group. And then we have a class for our young adults. That would be in that college age group. And then we have a class for our career group. Maybe those who are just out of that college age. And you don't have to go to college to be in there. Then we have a class for our young married. And we generally say if you've been roughly married 10 years or less, that's a great place to go. And then we have a class for home builders. The idea that, okay, you've been married more than 10 years and maybe talking to other people about just more the middle age years, if we could say it that way. And then we have a class for the senior adults. And then we have a class called the Trinity class. And that's a class for just anybody who wants to come for whatever reason. Maybe they don't fit into one of these other classes. We have the Trinity class, and we'll be adding, of course, the Welcome to Trinity class, which actually this will be part 5 of 6 in that. Sunday mornings at 9:30, you're welcome to come. And I would trust that you would find these classes encouraging as you continue to follow Christ. And what do we do between the worship service that starts at 10:45 and then the 9:30 to 9, the 10:15 Sunday Bible studies? We have coffee. And there are people who come early on Sundays and they set up coffee, make coffee, tea, what have you. Why do we have that half hour break? Well, it's good to give people time to pick up the children and do the things they need to do. But it's also a wonderful time, if you like, to grab a cup of coffee or tea and just talk to each other and encourage one another to keep following Christ, to remain faithful to the Lord, no matter what's going on in your life. We also have Wednesday night opportunities. Every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have a Bible study. And so we come in. We don't really have a service on Wednesday nights. We do start with the song. We don't take an offering, have special music, that type of thing. We come together, we have a Bible study, and then we have an opportunity to pray. We always promise to be finished by 8 o'clock. I know Wednesday's hard, and it's just an opportunity to be encouraged and to encourage one another in that format. And even while we do that, we have nursery, because we know it's encouraging for moms to be able to participate as they would like and not have to watch their very young children. We also have something special on Wednesday night called Truth Trackers, and that's during the regular school year from September to April. That's for our K-4 through 6th grade. And so that's divided up into 3 separate age groups, but all together we just call Truth Trackers. Maybe some of you are familiar with some churches having Awana. It would be somewhat similar to that, where the children, in a way that's fun and enjoyable, come together, they play some games, they do some fun stuff, and they're taught the scriptures, and they're taught about Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful opportunity for the children to be taught. That's one way that we seek to encourage those who know Christ on Wednesday nights. Once a month, we have a ladies' missionary fellowship where our ladies come together. And there is an emphasis on wanting to help our missionaries, but also an emphasis on encouraging one another to keep following Christ, to remain faithful to the Lord. And there was a handout in our bulletin even today about that. And then once a month as well, kind of a parallel, we have a men's meeting called 7 on Saturday. And we say 7 on Saturday because we start at 7 in the morning on Saturday. And for that meeting, we always promise to end by 8 o'clock. It's been a while, but when we started this, a number of guys said, I'd be open to come, but Saturday is so busy. And is there a way we can just keep it streamlined and focused? And so we do. We start at 7, we're finished at 8, and that way there's time to do whatever else you would want to do. I know there's many chores and such. Saturday's a day to do other things, and we realize that. And then something a little bit newer for the men. We have retired men's forum and an opportunity for our men that are at a retirement age to come out. And you say, into what? And to encourage one another and to be encouraged by one another. And then we have many different fellowships and activities. Just maybe some of the highlights. We have Sunday night fellowship. So just recently we had a nacho fellowship. And then the next one, I don't know, will be called an ice cream fellowship. Maybe one will be a soup fellowship, what have you. And the key is not what do we have to eat. The key is brothers and sisters coming together after a Sunday night service to encourage one another. And there's nothing wrong with encouraging each other in, hey, I saw you bowl, you're not so good, but it's okay. Encouraging one another in, how are you doing? And is life hard? I'm praying for you. Just as you continue to follow Jesus. And spiritual encouragement at Sunday night fellowships. Twice a year we have a very special service we call a spring and then in the fall an anniversary service. We're coming up to one pretty soon. And what we'll do is that morning we'll have a little bit of extra music, just an opportunity to rejoice and especially give thanks to the Lord. And then right after the service, rather than going home, we'll go down to the activity center and we'll have lunch together. And then right after that lunch, then we'll have a very brief, typically a communion service, something very abbreviated, not having a Sunday night service that night, just an opportunity to encourage one another, to spend time with one another. We also once a year do something very special, and this is coming up. We go to the wilds, and we rent the wilds for the weekend, and we invite our church family to come. I believe last year we were right around 250 people. And I'm thankful that so many people would want to come up to the wilds. Begins on a Friday night, goes through all day Saturday, and then Sunday morning as well, we're up at the wilds. And just an opportunity not only to hear preaching and to sing and to be outdoors and enjoy the beauty of that campsite in North Carolina, but an opportunity just to spend time with one another and to learn about one another and find out how can I encourage you to keep following the Lord. And how can you encourage me? And then many miscellaneous ways as well. I mentioned bowling just Friday night. We don't do bowling because we're concerned about bowling. It's just an opportunity to come together and spiritually encourage one another. Encourage one another to do what? Acts 11:23. Barnabas rejoiced and began to encourage them all to with resolute heart remain true to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to encourage one another. Remain true to the Lord. Remain faithful. You've made a profession of faith. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. You're a gospel believer. Okay. By God's grace, continue to follow Christ. Or as in Acts 14:22, encouraging them to continue in the faith. And saying through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Yes, it does get hard at times to be a Christian. But I'm going to encourage you and you're going to encourage me and we're going to encourage one another. Let's keep following Christ. Let's continue in the faith. And then even as we end tonight with Hebrews 3:13, by God's grace, we must encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We are in a perpetual spiritual battle. You say, where's the battle, Greg? It's inside me. The battle is between the Holy Spirit and my flesh. Remember Galatians 5, it's spirit versus flesh. That's not my spirit versus my flesh. That's the Holy Spirit versus my flesh. And by God's grace, I want to keep following Christ, yet I still have a flesh, and it wants me to go in ways that are wrong, not after Christ. And we all need to be careful that we are not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And we need to encourage one another as long as it's still called today. You say, what does that mean? Many different ideas. But right now, today, it's still called today. The opportunity is still open. Before you leave, before you get in your car tonight, you have an opportunity to encourage a brother or sister in Christ, to encourage him or her. Hey, I'm praying for you. I know life is hard, but Jesus is a good shepherd. God loves you and he's going to help you. The Lord is faithful and I know you're going through a hard time. I am praying for you as you continue to follow Christ. And hopefully that would just be a very normal aspect of our church life as we seek to exalt Christ, encourage those who know Christ, and then evangelize those who need Christ. Let's pray.